Roy from San Diego.
I'm an alcoholic named Roy. And I give God all the honor and the glory. And I'm real grateful for these principles and you people, because without you guys in my life, I'd be lost and confused. You know, and I look at them birthdays and it gives me a lot of hope. See, because I was introduced to this program in 89 and I just wasn't willing. I thought it was a cult. I was scared and I couldn't get honest. I couldn't get honest. I was a victim where I grew up at. And it was fun at first. And then somewhere down the line, you know, I crossed that line. And I drank for the effect, you know, to get drunk. You know, I wasn't a sociable drinker. You know, the alcohol took me to places that nobody should have to go. What brought me here was that degradation, that shame, that guilt, and that incomprehensible, pitiful demoralization. And I mind you, I don't leave out pitiful. Because, see, I'm that alcoholic that if I leave out pitiful, I'm making light of it. Because my life was pitiful, and I couldn't do nothing about it. You know, I grew up in Southeast San Diego. My home group is the 530 Cheers group. I believe in doing service work, unity, service, and recovery. I live by that. This program and you people have saved my life. You know, what got me to that point was that, you know what, I got beyond human aid. Because I was raised up in a family that believed in working and going to school, raised up in church. My uncle was the principal of the school I went to. My father was the principal supervisor of the city that I worked for. So it was a lot of pressure. I just know you're going to do right. And all my life, until I came here and accepted this program, I always tried not to get in trouble. But I just couldn't pull it off. You know, I like that first part that the guy read, because that's me. See, I ended up in abandoned houses and owned my own house. Once I take one, I can't go home. I promise myself I won't do it again, but I do it again anyway. I have this fine-tuned state of mind that'll tell me it won't be like that the next time. And see, I don't know about you, but where I grew up is I couldn't tell you that I was scared. I had to fight for my rights, and that's just the way it was. I was mad because I had to do right and you could do what you wanted to do. So when I got out of my mother's house, I said, I'll do what I want to do. And that's what I did. And it took me straight to where they told me I would end up. See, I became that person that was homeless but owned a home. See, I choose to sleep in abandoned houses, you know, under bridges, stay out all night. And them countless vain attempts. See, I've been into about 17 treatment centers, and I get in there, and I think I know something, and I start being the instructor. I like to tell the help how to help me. See, because I read the book once, and I gave my first one away because I thought I had it. And God took this obsession and craving away from me, and it's in the 12 and 12 perfectly, without flaw. But I'll go right back to it. See, I didn't know that my life was messed up. I just thought it was the drink. See, one of the hardest things for me to do was not to hang out with people, places, and things. Because where I come from, I had to hang out with some people. And what would I be without them in my life? The book also says, I look out at the crowd, and what comes to mind is that tradition that says our common welfare comes first. Personally, recovery depends on you guys, AA unity. Because without you guys in my life, the sponsors, people that understand me, see, because my mama and daddy, they did their best they could, but it wasn't enough. I come from a loving family, you know, and If the love wasn't enough to keep me. See, because I get into a relationship or I get a new job and everything goes good until I get to know who's who. And I gravitate to them people that's just like me. But they're not in recovery. See, I don't have the opportunity. I'm not afforded the opportunity to hold on to them resentments and to hang out because I get drunk. You know, fierce resentments. You know, when I first came into the room, man, I thought it was a cult. All that hugging and I love you and keep coming back. See, I got that self-centered fear. And that's a cold one right there because I'm scared of losing what I already have. I think you're going to get me, so I got to get you first. You know. But you guys, see, because from 89 until 3 years ago, man, that incomprehensive, pitiful demoralization. I had to get beyond human aid because if anybody could say I'll help you and could help me, I wasn't relying on God. I had to get to a place where only God could help me, and you guys keep me here. See, you know, I developed a relationship with the God of my understanding through the steps. See, I got a way out. See, I still go to that same meeting where I grew up at. And I could be I coached football for 21 years and I end up buying dope and drinking with the kids I coached. And I used to teach them the stuff that I was doing was wrong. See, it got to a point where I couldn't go to practice no more. Practice was taking too long. And I'm talking about kids that didn't have a father. Their fathers was in the penitentiary. Their mama was on the track. They didn't have a chance, and they looked up to me. But that shame and that humiliation and that guilt, not to save my own kids, I didn't know how to listen. But when I got to that part where it says, some of us get beyond human aid. I went to that treatment center, and I surrendered. And I got me a sponsor. I started working the steps, and I started learning how to apply it in my life. See, because I'm either going to do this or I'm going to get loaded. That's just, I can't, half measures avail me nothing. My old ideals will get me loaded. See, it starts from my behavior, you know. My attitude. And see, I can't think my way into a better living. I got to live myself into a better way of thinking. See, because now my perceptions change. You know, I do step studies. I be of service. I do book studies. I go to meetings daily. See, because if I don't go to meetings, I'll start thinking I know something. I think I got it again. See, I don't do relationships without this program. I tear relationships up. I used to always go look for that right woman, and my sponsor said, you got to be the right guy first. Because I'll mess up a good thing. Thinking I'm doing the right thing. You know, I just love, man, I feel comfortable, and I want to thank you guys for making me feel comfortable, but you guys is just like me. See, I love this program because I ain't never been in a place where there's no big I's and little U's. If you got one day, you got a vote. If you got 40 years, you got one vote. See, I love that because I was always told what to do and hated it. Today, I could take some good orderly directions. See, because you understand me. You guys give me something that my family can't give me. They're not alcoholics. See, the book says I got to get it from you guys. And see, what I feel and what I understand through my experiences, I know what that degradation feels like. I could never relate to a woman, you know, that be out there doing them things. Well, see, when I get bad, I do whatever it takes to get the next one. And the things I was doing, I couldn't wash off. That shame, I couldn't wash that off. So I know how you women feel that had to be out there and did them things. See. Man, I couldn't tell. You know, this is the first place I've been in. A society of people that finally got honest. See, I go to a meeting where people that I looked up to. And it wasn't until they came into the rooms and started getting honest with themselves and telling me that gave me the hope that just maybe I could get honest about that shameful and that degradation and that humiliation. See, because I got to hold on. I got this mind that would tell me it wasn't that bad. The book talks about you. We will forget what happened a week or a month ago. Well, I need to tell you, I'm the alcoholic that will forget what happened last night. See, because I had that sense of ease and comfort, and I would do whatever it takes to get that sense of ease and comfort. And I'm talking about I drank, in a sober state of mind. So I go there sober. And all bets off once I take that first. But now I'm going to do the things that I said I would never do again. And see, I'm not fooled. If I don't do this, I'm going to do that. And it always got worse. I would stay sober for a year, get a home. And see, I can't do life. It says it's too much for me. You know, people still, I just talked to my son yesterday, I think it was. And he said, Daddy, you still going to them meetings? I said, yeah, Daddy got to keep going to them meetings because without these meetings, Daddy's not going to do the right thing. And that's just the truth. I would do the same thing all over again. Sober if I don't do these steps. These steps, man, is the vehicle to God. And see, I know who stands in between me and that next one. Not y'all, because you guys don't have it. It says no human possible could have relieved me. All you could do is help me on my merry way. See, God has to be in the forefront in my life. If I put God second, guess what? I'm getting loaded. See, because I'm going to always do that. See, I was always in conflict, first with myself, then with you. I couldn't be indifferent. I couldn't sit down with somebody and they thought different than me. Fear. 100 forms of fear. Man. When I did that fourth step and I was able to get honest with myself, you know, and I wrote all that stuff down. And see, this book does not give me a way out. I cannot blame somebody else for what I've done today. You know. I have a support group. I have a home group that, you know what, I get honest. Because one lie will get me drunk. See, it's my behavior that takes me to that hit, to that drink. I act out way before I take it. You know, I remember, thank you for allowing me to share.